But the light of the world, we're looking in John chapter 1. We'll be in verse 6 to start. The words will appear on your screen. And we are going to move quickly and get ourselves to a time of invitation and appeal. And I'm looking forward to how God will move, because this time of year, a lot of great things go on for us, don't they? And we have a lot of opportunity and the wonder of all the things that are going on around us. But we want to make sure, as Brother Jake said in the youth thing, that we understand what Christmas is and what it's all about. And we want to know exactly why we celebrate this time of year, exactly why we have things like this. And it's not, like they said in the youth thing, it's not because of the trees and the presents and all that stuff is fine. But we understand that Jesus Christ was born into humanity, and that's why we celebrate this. And we want to take a deeper look at that this morning. John chapter 1, verse 6. Stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word, if you are able. Now listen, I can't promise you anything, but it's very rare that I have Amen Corner behind me. Amen. And so if they get to saying amen and pat me on my back and stuff, I'm going to get like one of those old black preachers in the Missionary Baptist churches, all right? And I'm going to start hacking and I'm going to start going in. And usually those churches don't get out till 2 o'clock. So just know. So you want the choir to be quiet this time, all right? But we're going to look here in John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. Notice the capital L. That all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, that's Christmas Day, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would be with us, meet with us as we look at the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ, and exactly what that means, exposing the light of the world to everyone around us. Lord, we ask this blessing now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Verse 9 gives this understanding that he is the true light. Underline that in your Bible if it's not, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. It's a key verse because it literally says that everyone, that this is inclusive, the light is given to everyone. Now, some interpret this very poorly, and they think that this verse means that everyone is saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We call that universalism. But we know that that is not scriptural. That's not the truth of the Word of God. It's not a biblical interpretation. Look at John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. John will explain it in John chapter 3 even more clearly. And this is the condemnation or the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Everyone sees this light, but some accept it and some reject it. The question we have to ask ourselves this morning is, why do some reject this light? Because it says their deeds are evil, and they don't want those sins to be exposed, and so they would rather just turn it off. When I was first married, my wife is not, she doesn't like to have things illuminated as much as I do. She lives in the dark, kind of like a bat, and I just like everything lit up. And people would be coming over, she's like, why are every light on? That's going to show the places where dust are that they wouldn't normally see, right? She didn't want to expose the dirty corner of the house. And that's what people do with their sin. They don't want the light because they don't want it to expose the dirty parts. Even if you haven't repented of your sin, you're not going to come to Jesus because of his light, because that exposes your sin. You must allow that sin to expose your own heart before you'll ever come to Jesus. That's why we say recognize your condition before we tell somebody about Jesus, because you first must come to terms with the fact that you're a sinner and that you must come to the light. This is a really big, or huge, as our president would say, it's huge. It's a huge theological statement. He shines his light on everyone, but some hate it or reject it. That's a big statement. Even though it seems simplistic, That's huge. God's not willing that any should perish. It says there in the verse that this light that lighteth every man that cometh to the world, he wants it to be a witness. He wants it to be known. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He literally shines his light so that we might see our sin and come to him. In verse 10, this is a shocking statement. It's a ridiculous statement. I'll show you how ridiculous in a moment. In verse 10, it says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. It's a shocking statement because it says that we're created by God. We're created in the image of God. And when God showed up, they go, who is that? Or even worse, they said, get him out of here. Jesus should have, they should have recognized him very first off to the Jews. Look at verse 11. He came unto his own and his own received him not. The very first place he went is to the Jews, and they reject him. They had all these Old Testament scriptures about what he would do, what he would be like. And when he showed up, this creator of the world, they knew him not. They rejected him. They turned their back, and ultimately they killed him and crucified him on a cross. You know how crazy that statement is? Even animals know who their master is. Look at Isaiah 1:3. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Isaiah prophesied it 700 years before Jesus came that when Messiah would come, they wouldn't even recognize him. Do you know how crazy it is that even, sorry, I have a dumb animal, and some of you have dumb animals, that even our dumb animals know who their master is. When you show up at my house, if it's one of the people that live there or frequent there, my little dumb animal will run to them with adoration and praise and excitement and tail wagging and following you all around. But if you come and you're a stranger, he'll growl at you and he'll bark at you. He won't do anything because he's the size of a rat, but he'll pretend like he's really tough. And here's the thing. Even a dumb animal knows who his master is. But when the master came to earth, the people growled, the people barked at the master rather than coming with loving adoration for him. Here's this light of the world. This is how far we have fallen as mankind. Sin enabled us not to be able to recognize our own creator. We have gone so far now that many say there is no creator, that we've evolved. We've gone so far now that we've fallen into such darkness and won't accept the light that when someone says, well, I'm an atheist, I want you to see this, it just confirms John 1:10. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. We've fallen so far. But in verse 12, here's the key today. Two words I want to study and I'll be finished. Two words. Even today, you may be sitting here and the light is shining. There's a witness and witnesses that have been shining the light of that true light. And you're sitting there today and there's two words that have to be done if you truly want to be saved and truly want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We see in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We need to look at received him and believed on his name. Now, we usually would have that order reversed. You must believe before you can receive. John gives it to us this way, but I want you to know this. Our whole salvation hinges on these two words. Our entire salvation hinges on believe and receive, or receive and believe. This is how we are saved. Listen, this is a great rebuke for Calvinism. If it is needed to be received, if it's not guaranteed, then how can God just preordain or elect who he would save? There's no need to receive it if you own it. I don't have to receive my home, it's mine. I don't have to receive a boat because I have a boat. Now, if somebody wants to give me a better boat, taking all offers. Free is a great price. Believed, this word is more than our common English word. When we say I believe in something, we're saying I believe that something exists. I believe that something is even in the realm of possibility. But this word in the Greek text, what we understand from the King James Bible is that it's more than that. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, I believe in God? I've run into this more times than not the last several 10 years or so. I've heard people say, well, I've always believed in God. But it's more than just believing he exists. Now, what John is talking about is the Greek word pisteo. And it means to have faith in or entrust your spiritual being to Christ. Faith in what Jesus did on the cross. Now, I would ask you this. In reality, we ask that question, if you die today, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? But maybe even better stated, would you stake your eternity on just belief? A lot of churches, a lot of people today will say, if you just believe, and what they're talking about is that God just exists. But let me rebuke that today and show you that it's not intellectual belief, but effectual belief that would ultimately bring us salvation. Because James 2:19, I quote this verse all the time because I hear this so much. But thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The demons or the devils believe God. They believe his existence and they are scared to death of him. But they refuse to change their behaviors. So don't pat yourself on the back just because you believe God. Even the devils believe God. But will you entrust, will you put your eternity, will you stake your entire eternity on Jesus Christ? And what he's done for you, the finished work of the cross. Received, I want it to be all like theologically smart, but this is pretty easy to understand. We sometimes preachers make this more than it is received. Let me tell you how simple this is. It's Christmas time, right? If somebody gives you a gift and you take it, you've just received it, right? That's as deep as it is. So you all understand what received means now. So if you take something and somebody says, here's a gift, and you receive it, good, you understand what receive means. So what do you have to receive? Well, he says it right here in the Bible. Receive him. You have to receive Jesus Christ and what he has done for you. And that's all there is to receiving. Do you receive it? So it is simple. It is very clear. And that's why these little children up here, some of them are saved because they believe him. They believe he exists. But when they get to that understanding that they want to put their trust in him, they can receive him because the Bible says that salvation is the free gift of God. When we have communion, we'll do that Wednesday, we say we're receiving communion. Jesus at the Last Supper, he says, this is what you have to receive. You have to take it. You have to accept it. And that's very easy to do, isn't it? When we receive the Lord's Supper here, one time a year, usually during Easter, I have people come and get it because of that verse about craving the body. But like this time, usually we serve it. And when somebody comes through, one of the deacons or trustees comes through with a basket, you have two choices. You can receive it. If you've been a dirty, rotten scoundrel sinner that week and you know you ain't self-examined right, you can say, go ahead and I'll reject it today. But you only have two choices. You either receive it or you don't. Well, you know, that's what Jesus is telling us, and John's telling us through these verses. You only have one thing that you can do when it comes to your salvation. You can believe that Jesus is able, and then you can receive it, or you can reject it. But I want you to notice this verse and something that's very casually thrown around in verse 12. It says, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. I've heard so many people say this, well, I'm a child of God. Listen to me. Everything and everyone is God's creation, but not everyone is God's child. You must believe the way we talk about believing, entrusting your soul to Jesus and receive his free gift of salvation. Then to them, they become the sons of God. It's a different situation, a different organization. We understand that through this, that we must be born again. You were born of the flesh, but you must be spiritually born again. Because look at verse 13, which were born not of blood, not of your mother's womb, nor of the will of the flesh, not because somebody told you. You've heard me say before, well, somebody says you're saved because your grandma said you're saved. No, you don't become a son of God because you were 5 years old and your grandma says, oh yeah, you believed Jesus when you were a little kid. No, it's a personal invitation that you must accept. And not because, listen, I'm a pastor, but not because your children's pastor told you when you were little, and Pastor Jamie does a thorough job with that. Not because your youth pastor, because none of us are God. We can't know. We can only give you the information and then just trust your profession. Only you know if you're truly saved. And so, are you born again? We probably, in churches, don't talk about being born again enough. Because when you're born again, I got a great illustration this morning when the girls were singing solos, when Sister Violet Hatcher was singing solos. I got a great illustration of that. Very, very quickly, God sent it to me. But We don't talk about being born again so much, but I remember the Hatcher family are charter members of the church, and so I remember when Miss Violet came, and we didn't have, she was in the nursery. Eliza was just born, and she should have been in the nursery, but Violet could talk like a 12-year-old when she was three. And so we just said, well, just put her in junior church. There ain't nobody in junior church but Savea and Jalise. Just put her in there with them. And we're like, okay. And so she was just over there. But I can remember Violet, you see all this long hair now? It wasn't so much like that. Her hair hadn't grown in all the way just yet when I first met her. Now she's up here singing, and so she was born, but since that time she's been saved and baptized, and she's been born again. And so I've seen the physical, but I've also seen the spiritual transformation in her life. A couple of years ago, if we would have got her to try to get up here and sing, she would have been too shy. She would have been bashful, but she's growing up, and she's born again. And now she knows she's not singing because Sister Maddie and Sister Crystal asked her. She knows she's singing for the glory of God. It's a transformation. It's a change. And so when those of you who say, well, I know I'm saved, but listen to me. I know it's Christmas and you expect me not to be harsh, but I'm going to tell you the truth in love. But you won't go to church. You won't serve the Lord. You won't tithe. There's no change in you. And when something is born, then they change. And so the Bible says born again. Let me give you Titus to explain it a little bit better here. Look at Titus 3 and 5. It's going to use these words. I did a little research on this verse. Watch this. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In the Greek, the words regeneration and renewing together, literally the basics of that word is to be born again. Because it's a spiritual thing. Only the Holy Spirit can regenerate you through salvation. And when that's done, you'll no longer act like you used to act. See, you won't be a little three-year-old anymore. You would have grown up. You would do things differently than you used to do. It had been a month since I've been over to see my nursery friends. And this morning, I went over there. And do you know how much a baby changes in a month? The last time I was in there, some of them couldn't crawl. Some of them couldn't walk. And now they're moving around. And I'm going, when did you start? And then, you know, some of them get to be two and three, and they start talking back. I said, when did you start talking back? So wait a minute. I say, they don't know, Pastor. I'm from the south side of the kingdom. Amen. You know, I say, you don't know me. This is going to sound entirely racist, but you know me. I just like to have fun and clown. When I was out of town there, I was walking down in Cincinnati on Vine Street, and I understand, and I didn't have all my preacher clothes. Amen. I had to buy, like, some sweatpants and some hoodies and stuff because I didn't have all my clothes. And Brother Kenton had brought me stuff, but I ran out, and I wanted to be clean. I'm walking downtown, and I'm walking, and I see this, like, little white lady grab her purse. Now, usually you would think that was racist. Now, listen to me. But I wasn't mad that she grabbed her purse from me. I was mad because she really thought she was stronger than me. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, Allison, you're a vegan. I will snatch that from you. You know what I'm talking about? I wasn't worried about, like, wait a minute. Like that didn't make me mad. But you know what? I was thinking about that. But like, when you're born again, it's really just an illustration. But when you're born again, it really didn't bother me at all. When I was young, I probably was like, I'm different than I used to be. Why? Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. When that life was received into me prior to salvation, I probably would have got mad. But after salvation, it can just be a great joke at church. But I like this, and here's verse 14, and I'm finished. And the Word was made flesh. Let's back up here. I want everybody to read this together. You don't have to stand. Just read it with me. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The wording here tells us that Jesus literally tabernacled with us. He came into human fellowship with us. He came into a place where we could not just worship as they did in the Old Testament before the tabernacle, where they're just looking. Remember when the burning bush comes, Moses has no idea what he's looking at. He gets so close to it, and God says, take off your shoes, boy, this holy ground. Well, that never occurred to anybody before. But now here's this tabernacle, this tent out in the wilderness. And from that time, that was showing us a foreshadowing of the tabernacle to come, the full embodiment of God on earth all wrapped up in helpless babe that would grow to 33 and a half years and lived with us, dwelt among us. The apostles are telling us that he was there. We could touch him. We could hear him. We could be in his presence. We could pray with him. We could eat with him. We could walk with him. Peter could even say, there was a period where I walked on water with him. We boated with him. We fished with him. He literally was here, his presence with us. Can I tell you that's why church is so important? Because some old churches are called First Baptist Tabernacle or Temple, and what they're saying is this is the time where we get to be together with God. Oh, I can worship God by myself. No, you can't. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, there I'm in the midst of you. When you worship God all by yourself, what you're really doing is worshiping your own interest. This is the tabernacle. This is the place we come together and we dwell among the flesh. Because who is the flesh? The Holy Spirit is indwelled in us when we come together. This is the body of Christ. He didn't say it's the mind of Christ. He didn't say it's the house of Christ. This is the Father's house. He said this is the body of Christ. Well, listen, I don't know about you. I don't care if you're a nobody, if you're a somebody, if you're anybody, but I love my body. So I take care of it. I nourish it with cinnamon eggnogs and Christmas cookies. And Miss Bethany offered me a piece of fudge this morning. I said, no, I'm watching my weight. I gained a little bit and need to get some of it back off. But I'll just tell you this. I wasn't always so strict in my diet. But as I got older and realized my health, I said, I like this body. But you know what? I love this body. And we got to work on it. We got to work at it. And sometimes we got to get rid of things. Sometimes we got to add things. We got to get all the right things. And Jesus says, here's how you do it. He gives us this roadmap, this blueprint. But the key to it all is just recognizing that we need it in the first place. Can I tell you that verse 14 is the most amazing thing that's ever happened? And the Word became flesh, or was made flesh and dwelt among us? That's the most amazing thing that's ever happened. God became a man. God entered human history as a man and fully God. It's the most momentous moment in the history of history. But I want you to notice this too at Christmas. In order for that to happen, Jesus had to empty himself to become a man. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that, but the fact that Jesus had to empty himself to become a man should kill any pride that's left in us. Catch this. We think we're all that. We think we got it all figured out. But Jesus had to empty himself to become like us. He had to take on the form of a servant to become like us. We're just that. We're servants until we get saved. And then if you look back at verse 12, we go from servanthood to saved to sons of God. Jesus had to empty himself of all the glory and grandeur of heaven so that he could come as helpless babe in a manger. And they said, and we saw his glory. We saw his light. I asked you this morning, have you seen his light? Well, I'll tell you that not because I'm the pastor of this church, but because scripture was read, great Christian songs were sung. As John the Baptist was not that light, but he was a witness of that light. You have had people witness to you today of who Jesus is. They've witnessed to you who that light is. Everybody that's come into this place today, that's prayed for the service, everybody that's taken part in it, every person that served in the nursery or Sunday school or played the piano or greeted or worked on safety team, every person that came in here with the right mindset that really want to get in, they've witnessed to you today that Jesus is that light. But we asked about those two questions. Have you believed it? Not just believe that Jesus is God, because even the devils do that. I got some 2 and 3-year-olds over there that will say some amazing prayers. They believe God exists. But they're not right now ready to understand fully that they got to shine the light on themselves. That's the hardest thing for a kid in salvation. When you ask a kid, they say, well, I believe Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sin. And they truly believe that. But then when you ask them, have you ever done anything wrong? No. Now, you was just eating glue yesterday. You cut your sister's hair off. You hit Tommy. And you ever done anything wrong? Scared to death. And you know what they're saying? I'm not ready for the light to shine on my darkness yet. I want to continue to just do what I want to do. Because as soon as I say that I know I'm a sinner, now I start got to start acting right. Because our church knows this, because if you knew better, I mean, doesn't that make sense? Choir, y'all are kind of weak. I just thought about that. I was expecting y'all to get like excited and like hallelujah and clap and stuff. Don't y'all know y'all got a black preacher? What's wrong with y'all? Some of y'all's black and y'all, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with y'all. Thank you. I mean, I thought we was going to be jamming in here. I thought they was going to be rocking. They sang their little songs. They just sit there. They ready for milk and cookies. They ain't even fooling me. Last time y'all sit up here, man, I just... You know, I believe this with all my heart today. The light has been shined today, but have you believed it? Not just a superficial belief, but have you in your heart said, you know what? It's time for me to put my faith, to put my trust in Jesus Christ. And can I say to you, you know what? That is a little scary. Mary and Joseph were afraid when the angel came and showed them the light. Hey, look, guess what? You're going to have this baby. Mary's like, but I've never even, like, how can, he's like, let me explain it to you. What's in you is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph's like, yeah, you're going to have a baby, Joseph. Mary's pregnant. He's like, who's she been? Like, y'all thought Mari Povich was newer. That's old. That was way back then. Mari was on the scene. He said, Joseph, you are. But you know, I'm telling you today that because that little baby boy, those shepherds who sang, who heard the singing of the angel choir, it's all about have you believed? Who has believed our report, Isaiah says? Do you truly believe and trust, not just believe he exists, but are you ready to place your faith in him? Say, Jesus, I'm going to live for you. There are far too many people who say they are Christians, who say they believe, but they have never fully entrusted. They haven't done a thing for Jesus. They haven't done a thing to shed the light of Jesus. They haven't done a thing to prove their love for him. Does Jesus need you to prove your love? I wouldn't say that he needs you to do that, but he says, if you truly are this, there'll be fruit. Listen to me. There'll be signs that you've placed your trust in him if you really have. The people will be able to notice, hey, there are signs all through our life, right? I talked about Sister Violet. Aren't there signs about our lives as far as our age? Don't things happen? It's 3 weeks off of lifting weights. When I went back to lift, there's signs that I'm not as young as I used to be. Young boys get right back in there and they just feeling good. Brother Brad was at the gym. I said, I got to get my shoulders together. You know what I mean? I said, my shoulders, I feel like I'm about to tear my whole deltoid off right now. I say, I got light weights on. I'm up there. I'm doing all this. I'm doing like aerobics trying to warm up. And then somebody comes and talks to you and for 15 minutes and I got to warm up all over again. You know what I'm talking about? My body has gotten into rigor. And I'm like, there's signs. There's signs that you're getting older. All of a sudden, you have male pattern baldness. I used to have hair all the way down here. I used to look like Isaiah and Mike and them. I had waves, boy, make you seasick, boy, back then. About 28, there started to be signs. About 35, I saw the sign, but I didn't get off at the right exit. You know what I'm talking about? And by 40, I said, I got to take this exit, baby. Gillette Mach 3 was the exit. I didn't. There's signs. All of a sudden, you start getting a little gray. I heard somebody say the other day, I'm not even gray no more. I'm just all white. I said, I hope one of those days I just have an all-white beard. That'd be sick. White look good on black like a chalkboard. Say, it's a Christmas pastor. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. Can I just tell you? Can I just talk? I haven't seen you for a while. Can I just tell you something? I went to the Dollar General the other day when I was downtown. Like I was telling you, I had to go to Dollar General. And I saw this lady with these eyelashes on look as big as my hand. And I was like, I was thinking about that. Like, if that's like, I mean, my wife doesn't wear it, but like, if I were to be like, go home and my wife had those sitting on like the bathroom sink or something like that, I would be like, what kind of tarantula do we have in? Like, I don't know if any of y'all, can you see with them? They was like this big. I was like, Lord have mercy, her lashes. It just came to my mind. I just had to share it with somebody. It has nothing to do with anything. I was confused. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you got to give your pastor therapy. You just got to, because I don't understand. Okay, I'm finished. Let me get back to the word. Have you believed it? Have you believed it? If you've believed it truly, you're ready to place your trust in Him, will you receive it? Receiving's easy. Here, take it. Or here, I don't want it. Some of you today, I won't do it publicly because I'm too prideful. But Wednesday, I literally hadn't been here since the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. And I was standing out front. And I hadn't seen any of them. A little birdie, McInerney, come running. And she said, "Preacher." I picked her up and just hugging on her. And I see the other kids. And, you know, I mean, Dawson, he was excited to see me. But then immediately he's like, "Sucker." You know, he is like, "The sucker guy's back." Preacher, you're cool, but where's the suckers at? And then Aria was excited to see me. She was waving her hands and wanted to pat my head. And I saw my little Heavenly Hearts preschool kids, and I hadn't seen them. I hadn't been there for a month. And they're like, "Preacher." And they were coming over and sitting in my lap. And this morning I hadn't seen Jocelyn forever, and I was in the nursery in Sunday school, and Jocelyn never left my lap. Kitty and Debbie know she's just sitting there. She wants to go with me, and I hadn't seen them. And some of you I know, you know, you came here this morning, and some of you see these little kids and all these people, but can I just say this to you? I'm just a man, but those kids have a certain belief in me. They have a certain love for me. Doesn't matter. Like, this is called the power of the pastor. It's not just because of suckers, because some of them are too little to even get suckers from me, and they just, you know. Bodie didn't like me until about 2 months ago. But now, we're homies. Because they have this certain belief. Remember I told you I never promised little kids anything because I never want to break my promise. They say, "Can I have a sucker?" I say, "We'll see. And if I say I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it." Jesus has promised you something. And He's not going to break it. And these are, we talked about dumb animals, but these are intelligent, beautiful little children. And they're wise enough to go, "That guy, I don't know who he is exactly, but he's something to us. And I believe, I trust him, and I'll go with him, and I'll sit on his lap, and I trust him enough. I'll put my trust in him." And so guess what happens? If I give them something, they receive it. It didn't matter what it was. If I was trying to give one of them a piece of coal today, they'd be like, "Well, I'll take it. Preacher gave it to me." And here's the creator of the universe. And some of you have come in here today so cold-hearted, so angry against something. Something's happened to you in your life. You're so bitter. You're so mad. So you've had church hurt. You just, something's going on, and you just can't understand. You believe it, but you just can't receive it. And let me tell you today, this is the greatest time of the year to receive the free gift of salvation. This is the all-trusting God. I know you're smarter than an ox or an ass, and He says He created you, and even they know who their master is. You won't come today and say, "Jesus Christ is my master." That's what Lord means. You won't say, "Look, I'm going to bow down and serve Him." Listen, these days they call them Christmas and Easter Christians. These days we don't even usually get people at Christmas. We usually only get them at Easter. You know what they are? I'm going to be honest with you. They're people who don't recognize, who haven't accepted, they haven't received truly exactly what the master is. You say, "Pastor, that's cruel. How can you say that?" Because that's what the Bible says. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. And what is life? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. He is the life. Today, we're going to close our eyes, bow our heads. That would be hard to do, wouldn't it? We're going to close our eyes, bow our head. We're going to go to a time of invitation.